Think about this for a moment.
Folks, do you know tonight you have the favor of the Lord? You have the favor of the Lord. You're highly favored, not because of who you are, but because of who God is. His hand is on your life. He favors you. He loves you. Actually, you're his favorite. And so am I. We all are. His favor is on your life.
Hello, friend, and welcome to A Daily Walk, where you never have to walk alone. Pastor John Randall is just getting started in Esther. While God's name is nowhere to be found in this book, you can't help but see his hand at work from beginning to end. Today, we'll be introduced to two main characters of our story, Esther and Mordecai. Here's Pastor John in Esther chapter 2.
Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servants who attended him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins to Shushan the citadel into the women's quarters under the custody of Haggai, the king's eunuch, custodian of the women, and let beauty preparations be given to them, and then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti." You may recall that in chapter 1, in verse 3, that it said, in the third year of his reign, speaking of Ahasuerus. And now in chapter 2, verse 16, you will read, in the seventh year of his reign, which means this: there is 4 years that have passed between chapter 1 and chapter 2. And that is why it opens up with the words, after these things. And so I question, and as I read that, after what things? What happened during those 4 years that are silent here in the book of Esther? Fortunately, we can look back at history, and we find out that it was during this span of time that Xerxes, which was his name, also known as Ahasuerus, attempted to conquer Greece. Yet in his campaign of conquest, he failed. He was defeated there in battle. And so he returns back. This is a campaign. He is fighting against Greece. If he could conquer Greece, his father had failed. If he could conquer Greece, he could be the emperor of the known world. He could rule over it all. And so that was his goal. That was his attempt. He doesn't have any ties to the queen any longer. She's gone. And so he moves toward Greece, and he attempts to overtake it, and he is defeated. He comes home. And as he returns back to the palace, a vanquished monarch, he starts thinking about his former queen, Vashti. Got a little bit of regret here. And it wasn't so much about having a relationship with a woman that he was concerned about. This guy had harems for days. He could call somebody like that, no problem. It wasn't about that. There was something deeper that he was missing, a queen, someone he could confide in. And so he begins to replay what happened. And I find it interesting that it says here, it's always the way that it is. It says, he remembered Vashti. Notice this, what she had done. You remember the story, don't you? Like, what happened? He was intoxicated. He was drunk. He calls her out to stand before these people. They've been partying for 6 months. Bring out my wife. I'd like everybody to see her. And she said, forget it. I'm not coming out. No way. And so he dismissed her. But it's interesting, he remembers what she had done. Actually, it was his fault. But the decisions that we make in haste, thinking we're going to find something better at some point in our life, we regret the decision we made at that time. This king at this moment is living with regret. And as he's reflecting, his servants could tell something's wrong with the king. I mean, he did just lose in battle, and he doesn't have a queen. And so they came up with an idea, a suggestion of the servants. And plans were made. Hey, let's just find another queen. There's lots of women around here. Let's just find one who could be your queen. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to go throughout the 127 provinces that you run. And we're just going to find the most beautiful, the young, the virgins. We're just going to bring them all to your house, and you can just pick one. What do you think about that, king? That's great. That's great. Let's do that. So he agrees with this whole plan. And so they go out and they find the most beautiful, the youngest women, and they bring them all to the Shushan, the citadel. And by the way, this was by force. It's not like they could say, hey, I'm good. I don't want to go. I don't want to enter the pageant. I'm good. I'm not one of... No, you had no choice. And so these women were taken. But while this plan was being presented and soon to be implemented, the Lord was working in preparing a young woman that nobody knew about except the Lord. Someone who was hidden away. Nobody knew about her, but God knew exactly who she was. God had a plan for her before she was ever born, and he was about to fulfill that plan. He was preparing her in private, in secret, and he was about to bring her to the forefront. You'll notice now in verse 5, in Shushan the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. And Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the young woman was lovely and beautiful. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Here we now see the backstory on Esther and Mordecai, two of the main characters that fit into this book. Mordecai was from the tribe of Benjamin. His family had been carried away into captivity there in Babylon. But when the opportunity came to return back to Jerusalem, Mordecai decided to stay where he was. He just stayed in that area rather than returning home. And he also was left with the responsibility of raising Esther, also known as Hadassah. Her name meaning myrtle tree, that's the word in Hebrew for Hadassah. But her Persian name was Esther, meaning a star. Interesting that myrtle trees, when they blossom, they form a star. Needless to say, this was his responsibility. And I want to point out to you, this is something that you can easily read over, but I want to look at this with you. It says her parents died. Now, what's that like for a girl? Why did her parents die? What happened? Was it because of the captivity? Did they get sick? What was it? We don't know what happened, but it wasn't just one parent. It was both. Perhaps at a time in her life when she needed mother and father. What kind of background is that? What kind of life is she going to have? She has no connection to anybody. Her parents are gone. Her dad's not there. Mordecai steps in and he takes responsibility and he begins to raise Esther. And it says that she was beautiful, that she was lovely. And I will find out in the story that it wasn't just the exterior beauty of Esther. It was also the interior beauty of Esther that made her so attractive. And let me say something, folks, listen, ladies, you specifically, you got all kind of pressure. What is beautiful? What isn't? What is this? What is that? All of that. Listen, the beauty on the inside is just as important as the beauty on the outside. In fact, I would say it's more important because you can be beautiful on the outside and be rotten on the inside. And what happens is that beauty that is being developed and cultivated within, man, it begins to make its way to the outside and it flourishes and people begin to see that. And this was Esther. But then it says here, we find how they selected these women. In verse 8, so it was, when the king's command and decree was heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan the citadel under the custody of Haggai, that Esther was also taken to the king's palace into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. So now they round up the ladies. I mean, they go throughout the 127 provinces. They start gathering all the girls, bringing them to Shushan the citadel. And I'm sure that Esther didn't necessarily want to go. I would imagine that. Because here's something you need to realize. And people don't get this. People will say, oh, this is a beauty pageant. No, no, no. It's not like that. Listen, if the king didn't choose you, you would forever live in his harem for the rest of your life. There's no getting married. There's no having a family. There's none of that. You just became almost like a slave, just available when he wanted you, but he probably didn't want you because there was plenty to go around and he didn't need you. So that would be your life. So this was something that everybody was all excited about. Oh, this is like Cinderella. No, no, not anything like it at all. Nothing like it. No slipper, no nothing, no pumpkin carriage, nothing like that. This was far more pagan. So they gather all the ladies. Then in verse 9, now the young woman, that is Esther, pleased him, that is the one who is in charge of all the women, and she obtained his favor. And so he readily gave her beauty preparations besides her allowance. And then the 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house of the women. Esther's taken to the palace there in Shushan, the citadel. And for some reason, it says she obtained favor. Why did she obtain favor? Because God gave her that favor. It wasn't something she had to work for, something she had to try to earn, or let me just, no, it was the Lord. God's hand was all over this young woman's life. And because of that, she had the favor of the Lord. Folks, do you know tonight you have the favor of the Lord? You have the favor of the Lord. You're highly favored, not because of who you are, but because of who God is. His hand is on your life. He favors you. He loves you. Actually, you're his favorite. And so am I. We all are. His favor is on your life. She didn't have to promote herself. God was promoting her. We're big into promoting ourselves. Esther, she's just rolling through. She's there in the citadel. She's obtaining favor. And then, so much so that she was given special treatment. Not only was she given extra beauty preparations, which apparently was important, but also she had 7 choice maidservants that came from the palace. She got the team, ladies. She got the cosmetic team. Where are these girls from? I'm going to bring you the palace girls. They really know how to do it up. So I'm going to get, I got you 7 from the palace. I'm going to hook you up. She's got an entourage. Could you imagine ladies waking up? Where's my 7 girls? Do my eyes, do my hair, do, you know, whatever. Like, man, that would be great. I'd take 2, not 7, but 7? It's a lot going on. She was placed ahead of everybody else because God had ordained it. God provided for her. God took care of her, gave her the best place. Imagine Esther being taken there by force, not knowing what awaited her in the future, yet the Lord had a plan that was slowly unfolding as the days moved forward. His hand was upon her life. She's growing up. Her mom and dad weren't there, but the Lord was there. Even being taken to the palace, the Lord was there. You know that in the book of Esther, the name of the Lord is not mentioned one time. God's name not mentioned in the entire book, but his hand is everywhere through the pages, through the verses. You can see it. Now, you'll notice in verse 11 that when Esther was selected, she received some instruction from Mordecai. Esther had not revealed her people or family. It's verse 10. For Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. And every day, Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarters to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. As Esther was selected to be part of this group of women, who one of which would become the queen, for some reason, it doesn't say right away, but we see the hand of the Lord in it later on, but Mordecai said, hey, don't tell them that you're a Jew. Don't tell them what your nationality is. Why he said that, I don't really know. But he did not want her to reveal it. And every day, you just see Mordecai, he's that, like that dad that's pacing back and forth. How's my daughter doing? You know, we have 3 boys and 1 girl. Boys, you know, I mean, it's different than a girl. I worry way more about my daughter than I did about, and don't go find her tonight. Your dad said he worries about you. Don't do that. Some of you guys, don't do that. But Mordecai, notice this. He didn't like just pass her off. He was still concerned about her. He was concerned about her welfare. He was concerned about how she was doing. And so daily, just pacing back and forth in front of the women's quarters, just checking on Esther to be sure that she was okay. Following the suggestion of the servants, the selection of the women, came a, and I do mean lengthy, time of preparation for the women. Look at this. This is something. Verse 12. Each young woman's turn came to go into King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months of preparation according to the regulations for the women. That's a whole lot of regulations, apparently. For thus were the days of their preparation apportioned. Now look at this. Look what you would do. For 6 months with oil and myrrh, and then another 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. A year. Gentlemen, just look at this. When your wife takes longer than you think she should take, it could be 12 months. What's taking so long? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's all right. They're getting beautiful. Don't worry about it. 12 months, 6 months with oil and myrrh. Like, wow, that's a lot of time with essential oils, ladies. And then perfumes and preparations. Man, if you don't come out beautiful after 12 months of this, you something. Next, I mean, you just, something's wrong. Something's wrong. So verse 13, thus prepared each young woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the woman's quarters to the king's palace. Now this is sad. And it's sad because all these women spent 12 months waiting, hoping perhaps that they might be the queen. Maybe some of them didn't want to, but they had no choice. And so they would be taken from the women's quarters. Notice verse 14, in the evening she went, and in the morning she returned to the second house of the women, to the custody of Shazgaz, the king's eunuch who kept the concubines. And she would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and called for her by name. 12 months of preparation were necessary before they could even be seen by the king. And when they came before the king, having been prepared, they would go in the evening and they would leave in the morning. And if the king never called for them again, that was the end of the story. They gave what was precious and valuable to them away and then lived in the king's harem if they were not selected. They would go in, be rejected, never to see him again. You know, as I was thinking about this and trying to see, Lord, speak to me through this, you know what I came away with? Well, for one thing, I am so glad that my king doesn't treat me like that. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And you know, he's preparing. You know, the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. He is our bridegroom, and he is coming for his bride. And our bridegroom, he welcomes us in. And he doesn't send us away, never to see us again, unless I call you again. He's always ready, always available, always wanting to hear from us. And one day, we're actually going to be with him when he comes for us and takes us to be with him. This king, just going through women one after another, with no regard for them. It's unfortunate. And I would say, ladies, if you ever meet a guy like this, run. Don't ever mess around with guys that don't respect you, guys that do not honor you, and are not willing to allow you to live a pure life before God. If he says he loves you, then he'll wait for you. And if he says, and if he doesn't wait for you, let me just tell you, he doesn't love you. Doesn't matter what he says. Doesn't matter what he says. So I would encourage you, if you're thinking about, man, I really would like a man, pray for a godly man, a man that loves Jesus more than he loves you, and who's going to serve the Lord and then serve you in the process. And men, let's be those guys. Yeah. You're like, I'm right here, honey. I'm one of those guys. No, put your hand down. Put your hand down. But, you know, that's the right kind of relationship you have. So, if he delighted in them, he would call them again. I'm so glad the Lord delights in us and he calls us by name. He calls us. He loves us. He delights in us. Well, in verse 15, now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king. Notice how simple she was. She requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. No doubt he had seen this before. He had watched women come and go, saw what they took in and what they brought out. And so he instructed Esther, and she received counsel and received instruction. And so Esther obtained favor, look at this, in the sight of all who saw her, everybody who saw her, not just this individual, but everyone. So Esther, verse 16, was taken to King Ahasuerus into the royal palace in the 10th month, which is in the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Verse 17, and the king loved Esther more than all the other women, And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all his officials and servants. And he proclaimed a holiday in the provinces and gave gifts according to the generosity of the king. He found his queen. I found her. Get the crown. This is the one. This is the one. Grace and favor and beauty. And he made her his queen. And he threw a celebration for Esther. Esther made her way to the king, and she was loved and obtained favor and grace and given this position and made the queen. In verse 19, it says, when virgins were gathered together a second time, Mordecai sat within the king's gate. Now, Esther had not revealed her family and her people, just as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai, as when she was brought up by him. Interesting, there is that insight into her upbringing. She honored her elders. She respected those who were over her. She listened and was attentive to the instruction. She wasn't a rebellious individual. She listened. And even still, and later on, when Mordecai would speak to her, counsel her, she still received it, just like she had always done. This is her character that's on display for us. This is what she was like as she was brought up. And in verse 21, the story begins to change a little bit, for it says, in those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate. Now mark that, because now that Esther is queen, whether she got Mordecai the job, we don't know. It seems that perhaps she had something to do with it. But sitting in the king's gate, that was like a place of authority. If you sat in the king's gate, you were like a judge. People would come to you. They'd bring situations to you and you would decide for them. You're sitting in the king's gate. This is an important position. And nothing just so happens. But notice this. He's sitting in the right spot at the right moment. And while he's sitting there, it says, in those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, they were doorkeepers. They became furious, and they sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And so the matter became known to Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on the gallows, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king.
That's Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk. And what you heard today was a message called All Hail the Queen. It's part of our series in Esther. As we leave you today, we'd like to say how much it means to us each and every time we hear how God is at work in our listeners' lives. It would be so encouraging to hear from you. So please, write today while it's fresh on your mind. Our email address is adailywalk@gmail.com. You can call us toll-free at 877-242-0828. And that's also the number to call if you'd like to order a copy of today's message. We can send that to you for a cost of just $5. Again, reach us at 877-242-0828. You can also visit our website to listen to today's message at adailywalk.org. And while you're there, you'll notice many other available resources in the e-store. Just recently, Pastor Chuck Smith's classic book, Love, the More Excellent Way, has been updated, and it includes a foreword written by Pastor John Randall. We'd love to get this into your hands. You'll not only discover what love is as defined by God, but also how to love the more excellent way. Get your order in today by calling 877-242-0828 or go to adailywalk.org for easy online ordering. It's available for the cost of $12. Or write A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. Here at A Daily Walk, we look to the Lord to provide for us and sustain us. We know these are difficult and challenging financial times for many of you, but if God has blessed you with a little extra this month, we'd very much appreciate your support. This would be a wonderful time to hear from you. We've tried to make it easy to make a donation online at adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. There are some ways we can stay connected. Check out Pastor John on Twitter and Instagram for biblical encouragement throughout the week. Follow him on Twitter at PJRandall7 and on Instagram at John P. Randall. And we also offer an app. Search for CCSJC in the App Store or Google Play. We'll get right back into Esther tomorrow on A Daily Walk. A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall is a presentation of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.